Good afternoon, or good morning. Excuse me, I was rushing the day. Good morning. I'm Lisa Cyril. I'm the Acting Chief of the California Center for Physical Activity within the California Department of Public Health, and I'd like to welcome you all here. We're going to have a very exciting discussion today. We have quite a few panelists, and they're all experts in working in physical activity among various ethnic groups. And so the title of this session is Physical Activity Interventions Designed to Reduce Health Disparities. The way we're going to go about this, since we do have quite a few panelists, is each will speak for about 20 minutes. I'm going to introduce them as they come up. They will speak, and then we'll have a couple of minutes for questions immediately following their presentation, and then ideally at the end of the session, we can open it up to the larger panel and take questions. So I would like to introduce Denise Rowe. She's a biostatistician and the professor of epidemiology and biostatistics at the Mel and Enid Zuckerman College of Public Health, University of Arizona in Tucson, Arizona. So please give a warm welcome to Denise.
Good morning. It's my pleasure to present Pasos Adelante, a community-based intervention for chronic disease prevention for Latino populations, on behalf of my co-investigators. I have no financial relationships to disclose. Let me first begin my talk by introducing you to Douglas, Arizona, which is where Pasos Adelante is housed. I want to help you understand why we did this in Douglas, what specifically we were trying to accomplish. Then I'll tell you a little bit about the Pasos Adelante program, give some preliminary results, and end with a discussion. So as you can see, to orient you, here's San Diego, which is where we are right now. This is the Arizona-Mexico border, and as you can see, Douglas is down here in the southeastern part of the state. In the southeastern part of the state, right on the Mexico-Arizona border. Now, the figures on the next few slides are from the 2003 Douglas Community Health Survey, which was conducted by the Arizona Department of Health Services. Cochise County, in which Douglas is housed, has roughly 135,000 people. Douglas itself has a little bit under 18,000 people. As you can see, Cochise County is roughly a third Hispanic, whereas Douglas is almost 100% Hispanic. Primarily, this has been a copper mining town. As you can see now, most of the employers are, in fact, public-related employees with a few private. The percent below the 200% federal poverty level in Cochise County is roughly 40%, in Douglas it's 62%. This is a picture from Douglas looking across the border to Agua Prieta, Mexico, and this is taken about half a mile away. And for those of you who aren't familiar, this is the border fence. Why are we in Douglas? Well, this slide presents it very well. Nationally, the hospitalization rates per 100,000 individuals is roughly 205 individuals. Arizona, it's higher at 350 individuals per 100,000. Cochise County itself, it's about 800. In Douglas, it's over 3,000. And in fact, the reason the University of Arizona became involved in the Douglas community is back in the mid-1990s, individuals from Douglas came to the university and the state health department because they were concerned about the diabetes rate in their schools. The goal of our research is to improve knowledge and to assist individuals with diabetes and their families in making meaningful changes in their lifestyles that will, over time, result in improved health. Our research actually has three components. We have a patient component, a family component, and a community component. Today, I'm going to be focusing on the community component. Now, a project like this has a very long history, and what I think is instructive about this slide is how many pieces and how much work goes into a project such as this in the community. Back in the late 1990s, the Arizona Department of Health Survey Health Services did a diabetes household survey, which was a survey of 900 households in the Douglas area. This led to the Douglas Diabetes Working Group in the early part, between 1998 and 2003, that was focused specifically on chronic diseases in Douglas. And this was made up of both community members and representatives from the university. As part of our Prevention Research Center core, we also had a chronic disease screening project that led us to the Border Health Strategic Initiative, which was funded by CDC between 2000 and 2004, which was funded across the four border counties. And then now the project I'm talking about today is part of our comprehensive diabetes prevention and control project that's part of our Prevention Research Center. So now let me focus on Pasos Adelante, or Steps Forward. The curriculum was developed from curriculum that was available from the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute, so Corazon Su Vida. In addition to that 9-week curriculum, we added additional sessions on diabetes, community advocacy, which is key in a community such as Douglas, and emotional mental health. In addition to these 12 interactive programs, we added an emphasis on walking groups for social support, and I'll talk about that in more detail. The curriculum was designed, developed, and implemented by Promotores de Salud. These are community members that are the ones who are actually providing the curriculum and are facilitating the walking groups. And it was piloted in Santa Cruz and Yuma counties, which are two more border counties, between 2001 and 2003. Then since 2003, it's been implemented in Douglas with CDC research funds. What does the curriculum look like? Well, it's 12 2-hour sessions that are highly interactive. And the three that we added for Pasos Adelante was one on are you at risk for diabetes, glucose and sugar, and then is your community healthy? Not only are you individually healthy, but is your community healthy? The next two slides describe the curriculum in detail so you can see what it actually looks like. You'll see that there are sessions on chronic diseases, such as heart disease and diabetes. There are sessions, many sessions, on healthy eating, starting with high blood pressure and then eat less fat, saturated fat, and cholesterol. In this session, they actually have a demonstration on healthy cooking. Then also, are you at risk for diabetes, becoming more physically active, and maintaining a healthy weight? The last 6 weeks talk about whether their community is healthy. Again, there's more about healthy eating, glucose and sugar, making healthy eating a family affair, eating healthy even when time or money is tight, tobacco cessation, and then at the end, review and graduation. And I'll show you a picture of that at the end. In the glucose and sugar week, they also were taught how to measure their own glucose levels with a glucometer. So here's some pictures of the actual intervention. These are the promotora-led sessions, and then here's an example of a walking group. Those of you who are familiar with working with border communities know that the ability to walk safely is a key concern. The walking groups turned out to be more of a challenge than we anticipated. Initially, in the first week, the first few weeks, they walk one time per week, facilitated by a promotora. By the end of the 12-week program, we're hoping they're walking up to 3 times a week without being led by the promotora. But to really get these off the ground, no pun intended, we partnered with Steps to a Healthier Cochise County to actually hire a promotora who her purpose was to facilitate the walking groups. And since we did that, they have gone much better. Our recruitment was initially through flyers posted throughout the community with presentations at local community groups. Since then, it's been word of mouth by prior participants. We've completed 10 rounds of recruitment, with recruitment scheduled to be finished next February. The eligibility criteria was anyone in the community who was at least 18 years old. They did not have to have diabetes to be eligible for the program. But for those that may have been told that they had diabetes, we had a preliminary risk assessment form to encourage them to talk to their physicians so that they could participate in the walking groups. Well, as in any study, we took lots of measurements. We measured them pre-intervention, 12 weeks later post-intervention, and then 3 months later at the follow-up. We had multiple questionnaires. We had anthropometric measurements, which we performed, height, weight, waist and hip circumferences, blood pressure and pulse, and then on a subset of the participants, we also have fasting blood tests. Our retention rates are good for a community-based study. We had 306 individuals to date at baseline. We had 84% who returned for the post-intervention follow-up. We had 71% who returned 3 months later. So given also the turnover in the community, we feel that these are very good. Now let me talk you through this slide because I know it has a lot of detail, but it's important to understand who our population actually is. First of all, they're 93% Hispanic. I'm 93% female, 100% Hispanic. 88% were born in Mexico, 98% prefer speaking Spanish. Their mean age is 53 years. About two-thirds have lived in Douglas for over 10 years, so they've been in the Douglas community for quite some time. They tend to be married. They tend to not be working. Almost 60% did not graduate from high school, and 22% have been told by their physician that they have diabetes. So you can see that in our sample, our diabetes rate is actually quite high, even though we didn't specifically recruit individuals with diabetes. Okay. Now the next few slides are going to look the same, so let me take the time to walk you through them. On the left-hand panel are box and whiskers plots. This is pre-intervention, post-intervention, and follow-up. And let me remind you that a box and whiskers plot has the median in the middle, the 25th percentile, and the 75th percentile. And the whiskers are these extreme values up here. On the right-hand panel is the statistical significance of the results. So these are 95% confidence intervals for the difference or the decrease from baseline. Now, as you may remember from your introductory stat class, here's the zero line. Okay, so the fact that this 95% confidence interval doesn't cross zero means that these are statistically significant decreases. There's a couple things to emphasize on this slide. First, note that the median BMI at baseline is over 30, so that these are very large individuals. And in many cases, it's because their stature is short. What you can see here is that we were able to show a statistically significant decrease in their BMI from pre to post intervention, which was maintained in follow-up. So even after they were no longer in the intervention program, 3 months later, their BMI had not reverted back to their original levels. Here's waist circumference. Again, this is pre-intervention, post-intervention, and follow-up. Here, the scale goes from -4 to -2, so zero was all the way up here. So as you can see, we have a statistically significant decrease in waist circumference, post-intervention, and also in follow-up. We did not do the blood draws ourselves. They were done at the local hospital blood draw centers. Initially, in the first year of the funding, we only had funding for the pre- and the 3-month follow-up blood draws. Beginning the second year, we had funding for all three measurement points. So we have 111 participants that have all three measurements. Here, for example, is the results for cholesterol, again, pre, post, and follow-up. As you can see, post-intervention, we're able to show a statistically significant decrease. But by the follow-up measurement, this does cross zero, so the decrease is no longer statistically significant. So let me summarize. We were able to demonstrate significant physiological changes post-intervention in the anthropometric measurements of BMI, waist and hip circumference, systolic blood pressure, and diastolic blood pressure. and also in the blood chemistry measurements of cholesterol and LDL. Most of these were maintained 3 months later, and in particular, we were able to show long-term changes not only in the anthropometric measurements, but also in LDL. We're still in the midst of analyses. We are yet to address the issue of dose or attendance. In other words, did those who attend more sessions have larger changes? And in particular, did those who attend the walking groups more often have larger changes? We are going to look at those who had diabetes separately, and we recognize that we need to monitor longer-term change. Then, as funding allows, with the Arizona Department of Health Services, we're going to repeat the Douglas Household Survey to see whether, after 10 years of involvement in the Douglas area, we're able to actually show change at the population level. This research was funded by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention through their Prevention Research Centers program. And I'll end with a slide of graduation. Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. I understand we have time for some questions, so yes. They sampled 900 households.
900?
Mm-hmm. And that's what we hope to sample again. Other questions? Okay. Good. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Denise.